B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertidis Middays.
Just had two regular season games to keep the cash grab. But people won't have a problem paying for that because those games will actually mean something.
Yeah.
If four is just way too many, it becomes so just arduous. You're like, you got to be kidding me. Four of these things? Oh. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station. We broadcast in the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Damon in South Philly's on the Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
Hey, good noon to you, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's happening?
Yo, Dan.
Hey, I'm good, man. Listen, I got a couple good things. First of all, I want to say I'm glad y'all talking about the comparison with the coaches and also the athletes, the guys playing under them. Now, the only thing I didn't like that you guys mentioned was about Carson Wentz not having more pressure than my guy Ben Simmons. Let me just explain it real quick, reason why I believe that. I believe Carson has more pressure on him for a couple different reasons. The first thing is because he didn't win a Super Bowl. He was there for it, but he didn't win it. So he got that pressure from the Nick Foles type thing. Now, the next thing I want to say is, you guys are talking about his health and things like that. That's very important. But don't forget about last year, even before that, he didn't spread the ball around. That's what happened. He got complacent with Ertz and started getting ticked off.
You know what's funny, Dame? I think, now again, I don't know the exactly the reason. I believe some of that was because of his back. Because, you know, think about it. Ertz flashing in front of you, that throw's a much easier throw than going to the outside where you're back, you got to be planted. He did not look right throwing down the field. So I that's what I think.
Okay,
so I agree with you. Like, he's got to be able to, especially now, you got to spread the ball around, yeah?
You definitely got to share the ball around. And the other thing I wanted to say was a reference to Carson. Also, I don't beat him up too bad. But, you know, he definitely got to share the ball. And he definitely has to do what Nick Foles always done. And that was just simply run the offensive plays, run the playbook the way that Dougie P does it.
Well, the year that he was the MVP through 13 games, Dan, he was audibling at the line a tremendous amount.
Yes, but he was audibling to plays that Dougie P picked for him, right? I understand that. But you got
to I don't know that to be true.
I thought that they were... I thought that first year before he gets hurt, he was a completely different quarterback than he was last year. And I thought he was doing a lot of his own stuff, and I thought he was going down the field a lot more. It looked like he was more in tune with Alshon the year before.
Yeah, you're right. But let me ask you this one question. How about the coaches now? You say Dougie P, and you say my man Brett Brown, right? All right, so I believe Dougie P is better than him because he took us with a backup quarterback to the Super Bowl, right?
Brett Brown. Well, he's got more accomplishment, of course.
Yeah. But Brett Brown, I don't like the way he coaches MB. He never makes him go down in the post. And he's going to have a lot of weapons now to do that with. He got Al Horford and MB now. There's no reason why he shouldn't be backing him down the post.
He's got to get right in the right conditioning, too. He's got to get more conditioned. And B's one that you brought up, Ant. When he's a guy that comes out for injury for a period of time or whatever, he gets out of shape quick.
Yeah,
he's a big man with a smaller tank.
Listen, if you ask me, do I think Brett would love for Joe to be down in the low block more? I think the answer is yes. I think that whole being in shape, I think it takes a lot out of him to go down. Establish position, fight down low, and I do. I think it does. It takes a lot. It takes a lot out of any big man, let alone and the way his game and his body. Yeah, does he need to be in better shape? Without a doubt. But remember his game too. So I think he also likes being up top a little bit too.
Yeah.
So you got to think, make him. Like, I agree, he needs to be down a low block, but he's not Shaq, who needs to be down there. 100% of the time. He can come up to the high post sometimes.
Yeah. The one thing, can we have somebody else inbound the ball defensively? So we don't have to make him run the full length of the court all day? You know, somebody, Ennis, when he's in, can he inbound it instead? You know what I mean? Instead of running baseline to baseline. It's one of those things. It's just a little thing. But I want to save some steps for him on his Fitbit. You know what I'm saying? By the way, I know Lane Johnson's been making some of the rounds, and he had this quote to say about Carson Wentz and says that the Eagles quarterback is coming into this season in a, quote, different mental state. Here's what he said. He said, every day when I walk into the building, All I see is him in there before everybody else, rehabbing, doing whatever it takes. I just think he's in a different mental state than he's ever been in terms of training and ignoring distractions and really trying to be the best player he is. I just see a hard worker and a guy who's about to do some big things this season. It's Lane Johnson on Carson Wentz. Love to hear that. And he's a guy that immerses himself in football. Remember, he just throws the iPad under the table.
That's what he does. I mean, you know, that's what he does. That's what he is.
Motivated. That I agree with Damon, our last caller, in the sense that I think that Carson does have more pressure than Ben.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah, because Carson's, it's the quarterback position, so it's inherent. One. And two,
Carson doesn't have Joel Embiid as well.
Yeah, see, that's why I think that that's lessened on Ben, because he's not the best player on the team.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so I think it's, so much resides on the quarterback anyway.
I mean, dude, I mean, think about this for a second. The last 2 years, ever since he got hurt in L.A., you want to talk about a living nightmare. From a sports standpoint, not from a life nightmare, yeah. From a sports standpoint. He gets hurt. They're clinching home field. He gets hurt. He now has to watch in a major serious injury. He now has to watch. And again, I know he was, you know, rooting, doing the right thing, rooting for Nick. But as an athlete, I mean, it punches at your gut.
Oh, it tears you, man. He's, as a competitor, you're going, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, if you put yourself in that place, like,
and you feel awkward, too.
Yeah, because you're not playing. Mm-hmm. You say, well, they got him the home field throughout, which was great, but you missed out on that journey.
Yeah.
And then they win it. So not only do you have that specter, but then you have last year. And last year was a nasty year for him. Because he comes out, you know, he's ready to go. He can't keep him off the field. And then he hurts the back early in the year. He looks not like himself. Forget the numbers.
Yep.
He didn't look like himself.
No, the eyes tell you that.
The offense sputters. Then Nick comes in, and then they get hot.
You go, what?
And they make the playoffs. And then they win the first round on the road. And they almost won the second round. They almost won the second round.
And he's just going through it again.
And you're sitting there going, oh my God, you're Carson Wentz. And you just endured what you did last year. And now, and by the way, at that point in the season, he probably could have played.
Yeah. And they had to shut him down.
I mean, that's a tough 2 years for the guy.
Yeah. As a competitor, that's the kind of thing you're just like, oh my God. And that's probably why they didn't just put him on the IR. Because that would have shattered him.
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, I think they didn't put him on the IR because what if something would have happened to Foles in the playoffs?
Could have brought Nick or Carson back in. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
worse that you're standing there and you're like, you still might be banged up and hurt, but you feel like you could still go out there and play, and you can't play because the other guy basically beat you out.
Yeah, and he's got the gig right now.
Yeah.
They're riding a hot hand because before that, you weren't playing great. And this guy comes in again to save the day and lead you into the postseason.
Yes.
Oh. And not only that, but you look at Foles and he's, you know, this super likable guy. Fans love him and everything. And you're like, man, how am I going to live up to this expectation?
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a big burden. Let's clear the lines here with John and Tamaqua on the Fanatic. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Hey, John.
Hey, I'm agreeing with a lot of stuff you're saying, but I just want to throw this out to you.
Sure.
You said about Carson going deep his first year and everything. Carson Wentz, that was an MVP season, no doubt about it. But one thing you're talking about, Dougie Peterson. I love Doug. He goes for it on fourth down all the time. I love that about him, competitor, blah, blah, blah. But one thing is, a lot of that had to do with Frank Reich. Frank Reich was a great offensive coordinator. Look what he's doing in Indianapolis right now. They're a Super Bowl contender now. And before he got there, Indianapolis was really a nothing. And he turned that quarterback around. So,
quarterback was banged up, too.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries had taken its toll on Andrew Luck. And then
absolutely.
I think listen, I'm not taking anything away from Frank Reich. But he goes in there and they had a last place schedule. Let's see what they do this year. I'm curious because they had a great year last year, but in the playoffs, they kind of got beat up, and I don't know if that was because of the last place schedule or not. And Frank didn't get a lot of sniffs, if you recall, before he came to Philly.
Right.
Like he took a job as an offensive coordinator under an offensive head coach.
And they both did great.
Yeah.
Both did great.
Yeah, but I think it's unfair to use Reich to take that away from Peterson.
Oh, no. I'm not taking anything away from Peterson. I'm just saying, because you could see how the offense did change from Reich being there to last year with Peterson. It did change a lot. Granted, there was different weapons and stuff. But
granted, the quarterback was coming off a double knee surgery and had a bad back.
I think the lack of an outside threat, you know, really opposite Alshon, I think hurt that offense a bit.
Definitely did. There was no speed outside. Yeah. Now they got it.
No, listen, your point is well taken. Like, you know, it's going to be up to Doug now to go and do some things special. You have all kinds of weapons and skill guys. I mean, this is probably the deepest offense. I don't know. Have they ever had an offense this deep?
The 2004 season?
No.
With Westbrook
they were more top. I mean, nobody was better than Westbrook. And you had T.O. So you had two monster weapons.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, look at the rest
Chad
of that.
Lewis.
I mean, look at the rest of that. I think the offense is better now. It's deeper now.
Yeah, the old line.
You have an elite tight end and an up-and-coming, potentially elite tight end.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think this may be the most.
I mean, you got Alshon and Deshaun. You got, you have a young dynamic back. You got another proven NFL runner.
Yeah. In a contract year, too. Boy, the contract year in the NFL is huge. By the way, Indy, tough start to the season this year. On the road against the Chargers, on the road division matchup against Tennessee. That's how they start their season. And we'll see how they do this year.
I'm curious to see, because a lot of people are picking Indianapolis, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of a step back.
Yeah, when you look at their futures odds, Ant, I think they're 9-1.
Yeah, I think it's too high.
I mean, for a team that hasn't won a playoff game in this regime.
Well,
man, that's crazy.
I mean, I think they played last place schedule last year.
Yeah. Well, those are lofty odds.
Well, you get fat on some of those schedules. And look, that's why I think San Fran has a big year.
And Jimmy Garoppolo coming back.
Because they're going to be playing playing the easier schedule.
No question. 610-632-0975. Couple open lines if you want to grab them. We'll get you right up here on the midday show on 97.5 The Fanatic. I got to tell you about Window Nation because the intense summer heat, it's July. You know, that's no breaking news that you're going to get some really intense heat, some humidity, and it causes your old leaky windows to produce unnecessary high energy bills, allowing damaging UV rays to fade your valuables and making your windows even less effective. So listen up. While the kids are at camp or the families are taking vacation, my trusted friends at Window Nation, the ones with more than 80,000 satisfied customers, including myself and the A+ Better Business Bureau rating, well, they have extra capacity right now, and they have to keep the factory busy and the installers working. So for the first time ever, check this out. Get one window free for every window you buy. No minimum or maximum purchase required on all styles of windows. Plus, no down payment, no payment of any kind, and no interest for 24 months. So buy now. Start saving now and literally pay nothing for 2 years. This is a great deal. Trust the window company I trust and visit windownation.com or make the call to 866-90-NATION and get your free window for every one you buy with no maximum purchase or minimum purchase, plus no down payment, no payments of any kind, and no interest for 24 months. That's 2 full years. So call now, 866-90-NATION, and the sale ends on July 31st, and tell them Jason sent you.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
When we look at Doug and we look at Brett, and I say to you, I want a confidence meter. 10 being supreme confidence. Going into this season with the way the teams are built, knowing what needs to be done from an offensive standpoint, knowing what needs to be done from a strategic standpoint, certainly with the Sixers, the style of play will be different in order, a different style of play. So give me what your confidence level is, 1 to 10, Doug.
Doug, I'm going to go a 9.2.
9.2?
Yeah. Because I think a big part of the equation is protecting the quarterback.
Okay.
And Doug's an aggressive guy by nature. He just is, and he's going to have a high-flying offense. So I think I'm going to go 9.2.
Wow, that's Doug. Even higher than I thought, you know.
Yeah. And I feel like, I think he's got the weapons. I think he's going to find the right way to employ those weapons.
Well, I think the thing's going to be interesting is working with Carson.
Yeah.
And getting the best out of Carson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a real challenge. That's not easy.
Yeah, no.
It's a little bit easier. You have more control with a Nick Foles, right? It was more of a, the two of them together. Nick was a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
It was more collaborative. I mean, I think, you're going to deal with a younger guy who's got more. And he's a guy that feels like he's in information overload, man. He knows everything.
Yeah.
And he's not shy about employing what he wants to do.
Yeah, and it was pretty apparent the way to have success with Nick Foles was to go with the RPOs. I mean, there was a lot of debate on what to do. Carson's got a much more...
Listen, the RPO by nature is a difficult... It makes things difficult on defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your human nature. You're going to stop. It's going to give you pause.
Yeah. Carson gives you a lot more variance because he has a more dynamic skill set. So how you employ that and also keep him protected is going to be very important. Like, you want to get the quarterback outside the pocket because that puts pressure on the defense. But you got to be careful with Carson. Let him get outside the pocket because you can take a big hit outside the pocket.
Yeah, the only thing that really made me question some of Doug's play calling, and it was only one thing, was some of the design runs with Carson. I just didn't understand why you would even do that.
Yeah, why you put him in that peril for a little upside.
Yeah, there's certain things you go, all right, I get it, where if it's there, you take it, and you slide, you get down. But there are other times when he's running on a keeper, and you go,
why?
It's an RP. Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, why are we doing this? One play out of concussion protocol is the one I recall.
But other than that, I mean, I think he's... I think he's got a really good grasp of everything. It's going to be interesting to see him put what kind of stamp he puts on this offense with the tight ends, the speed that you have now with Deshaun. The thing should be a machine.
Yeah, and the threat of the power running game, the dynamic, the back out of the backfield. We'll see if Miles Sanders, how good of a pass catcher he can be in his rookie year in the NFL. That's going to be a big question, or how much Corey Clement is used in that capacity as well. As far as Brett goes, on that meter that you got going over there, he's got to do something that's not what he wants to do. Because as a coach, he believes, you said it earlier, that's the way he likes to play, that run up and down the floor, shoot the three. Now he's got a team that's going to take him out of what he's always wanted to do, but he's got to do that based on the roster that he has. So I'm going to go about a 7.5.
Yeah, I think that's right. I would have like a 7 probably.
Yeah, he showed me something in the offseason.
Well, anytime you're at 7 or above, the scale is what it is, right?
Yeah.
You're at a 5, you're completely neutral.
Yeah.
You're at a 6, you feel pretty good about the coach. You're at a 7, I leave 10s for... You got
Belichick.
That's Belichick, right? If that's the scale, right?
Yeah.
If Belichick's a 10, see, I've dug it an 8.
Okay.
Like, Belichick's a 10, I go, all right, let me just see it. There's a lot of room there.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is that I think that, especially in the beginning of the year, the first couple of months of the Sixers season, all the changes bring on these lofty expectations. And it's going to take time for this group to be able to learn how to play together. They're going to lose games in the beginning of the year and in the first couple months of the season. that you're going to kind of go, like, seriously, we just lost to, you know, the Chicago Bulls at home, and they look the way they did? Well, it's going to take time.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's going to be complaining about Brett's not the right guy. They got all these tools now, and he doesn't know how to use them. This isn't the kind of offense he likes to run, so he doesn't have the substitutions right or whatever. There's going to be a lot of that still. He's still going to be a target.
I agree. And I think he's just got to block it out and just get to the playoffs.
Yep, exactly. And have the team finally tuned come playoff time. And we'll see if Elton Brand gives him some more, you know, a couple more tools to go to in the toolbox.
Yeah, everybody knows down there they can use another 3-point shooter off the bench.
Sure. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. Steven in Philly joins us on the Fanatic. What's up, Steven?
Guys, what's up, man? Actually, I'm driving I-80 on my way back from California. I'm in South Bend, Indiana.
Wow, stop off here at Notre Dame Stadium.
Because, listen, I'm not stopping nowhere, man. I'm so tired. I've been in an earthquake. I'm from Philly. I don't do this earthquake crap, buddy.
Oh, my God, you were out there for that.
Man, listen, that first one I was in, the second one after I finished my job out there, by the time the second one hit, I noticed that Zion wasn't getting back in the game, kind of viewing it on my phone a bit, and they said it was another. And I was in Utah by then, man. Hey, listen, let me tell you something about us Philly cats. Us Philly cats got sense. The ground only needs to shake once for us in order to say get the hell out of here.
Yeah. I don't know
what Kobe's problem is. I don't know what Kobe's problem is wanting to stay in L.A., fellas.
Yeah, doesn't matter how much money you have, Steven. When the earth shakes, we're all the same, brother.
they got a lot, man. They were walking around so cavalier out there like it was not a big deal. And I said, nope, I'm getting in my truck, and I do some shipping. So getting in my truck, I'm out of here, man. I called to really talk Eagles, but you guys just really lit a fire under me just now, fellas. Like, listen, don't get me wrong. Doug Peterson to me is always going to be a 10. The reason is he's won a championship. He's done something that no other coach in the history of our Philadelphia Eagles have ever done. Brett Brown to me is always going to be a 5 until he shows me something. Brett Brown to me, I love the guy. He's a phenomenal man. But as a basketball coach, I sincerely feel our Philadelphia 76ers would be world champions of basketball right now if not for the longest employed lame duck coach in the history of the NBA. That man was brought here to lose. He was not brought here to win.
Here's the thing, though. He showed you in the playoffs in both series adjustments that he made.
Cuz, come on.
I am being real.
Let me tell you the biggest adustment, cuz. We're up 3-2, a home court advantage, and you can't take these guys out? Come on, cuz. You have the biggest monster in all of basketball. And you're up with 3 minutes left to go. Come on, baby. The rest of that is foul shots. We were up.
Listen.
And we let Kawhi come back and beat us, man, in game 6 and game 7.
Did he miss the foul shots, Brett?
No, he didn't. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't put Embiid in the post. He didn't put his best player in the post.
He was weakened, clearly.
I mean, obviously, if he was healthy, I think, you know, they win the series easily, right? I mean, 2 games, he barely, you know, 1 game don't play, the other game barely plays. He's not himself.
So I'll give you one more, and then I'll leave you guys alone. You've had Ben Simmons now for 3 straight summers and 2 full seasons, and a guy can't hit a 10-foot jump shot? That's coaching to me, fellas. We are not NBA champions right now because of that, man. And I love that logo. Brett Brown's a great guy.
Yeah, I think you're too black and white with it, Brett. I do. Be careful driving, brother.
Man, that's a hell of a journey. With California back running from the earthquakes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
Oof. Yeah, I don't put all that weight that he put on Brett Brown. I'm not doing that. Sorry.
Yeah, and remember, the Sixers weren't up 3-2. The Sixers, even they won game 6.
Yeah, they had him on the brink.
But they should have. No, the Sixers won game 6.
No, the Sixers won game 4.
They won game 6.
Or they went up 2-1. They won.
Yeah, they were up 2-1, yeah, not 3-2.
Right, yeah. And they blew the lead in game 4.
They should have been up 3-1.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one that got away.
And that was the Embiid moment.
Yep. 610-632-0975. Joe in West Philly's on the Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Yo, Joe.
What's up? You know what? I'm thinking about that. I think, like, Carson probably got the most pressure on him because, like, in 3 seasons, really, I mean, I'm a big Carson fan, but in 3 seasons, we really keep talking about the same 11 games of an incomplete season that, you know what I mean, that he wasn't an MVP and he didn't play in the playoffs. And, I mean, he didn't win any play. We haven't seen Carson Wentz win any big games yet. You know, really make a mark in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he had the 1 year. I mean, the Super Bowl year. I mean, he was an MVP candidate. He was an incomplete year. He didn't play. And you know, the other 2 years are kind of suspect. So, you know, being that the Eagles are retooled this year, and he's supposed to be coming back, and this is a big offseason for him, I think he has the most pressure on him this year, personally.
I agree with you. I do. I think he's by far has more pressure, only because, again, Simmons at least has Embiid with him, right?
Yeah.
But he's the quarterback, the previous quarterback, had a playoff run before that. He won a Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about it.
Yeah, they chose Carson?
Yeah. And I think with the coaching, I think Brett Brown might have the most. You know, because Dougie already won. He won it. You know what I mean?
Don't have pressure.
Yeah, he does feel definitely a lot of pressure.
But you don't have the pressure that Brett does. I agree with
you. Nah, Brett finally got something that looked like the San Antonio where he come from and all the Spurs culture. Now, this is the team you're trotting out to this year is the closest thing to the Spurs you're probably going to get to. You know what I mean? Now let's see you do your coaching thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
You got your starters.
It's going to be interesting, though. How would you rate, if I go 1 to 10, 10 being Belichick, where is Doug on that scale?
I got to say he boosted himself up to about an 8.
Yeah. And again, he won it, but that doesn't make you automatically be a 10.
No,
our last caller, I'm curious, who is he? We know he's a leader, and you know he can coach.
Definitely.
But, is he an elite coach?
Yeah, exactly.
But you got to do that for a while. Yeah.
Because Bill Belichick, when you can keep this thing going on for years, and you can keep a tradition and a team like that going on something like that for over a decade now, I think that's what we're seeing with Dougie is that how long can he keep his concentration up? How long can he keep his culture going? And and his winning going? I mean, it's something we're supposed to get used to. I mean, that was true in New England. Is this going to be normal for us? That's what I really want to know. Is this going to be the new normal?
He said it. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, you're right. Belichick to me he's like the amp in Spinal Tap. See, this one goes to 11. Yeah, how's it go to 11? Why 11? Because 11's louder than 10. You know what I mean?
Right.
Belichick's the only guy who can go to 11. Like, if to your point, if Belichick's at 10, then yeah, then I got to put Doug in that 8 range as well. Because
Belichick's at 10.
Bill Walsh is a 9.6.
And Popovich is a 10. You know, where are those other guys at?
Yeah, because the bar that those guys have set is...
I mean, quite frankly, if you go strictly on Belichick's at 10, you know, Doug has just begun really his coaching career, right?
Yeah. Well, look,
you're 4 years into it. You're 3 years into it. This is going to its fourth year.
Yeah. But if he's able to win another Super Bowl in 3 years, then he's getting into top coach in the NFL.
Well, I mean, God, if you win again, you won two out of your first 4 years.
Yeah. How many coaches have done that?
Well, all right.
First head job, too.
Then you look at the flip side and you go, because part of it, let's face it, let's be real for a second, especially when it's a one-game scenario, part of it's luck, right? Part of it is you got to have the healthy team at the right time. Now, I thought Belichick's coaching last year was ridiculously good. What he did to the Rams and the Rams offense...
Oh, he made them look like pedestrian.
...was unbelievable. Look at how he coached against the Chiefs. Like, they got no business beating the Chiefs.
No. He accentuated your weaknesses like nobody else.
Kansas City's offense was so good that they were able to get back in the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he was able with that team. Look what he did to Rivers. He killed Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Rivers against Baltimore, how good he looked? We were like, oh, my God. Chargers got a shot against the Patriots.
Oh, and then he just slapped them in the face.
Destroyed them.
Yeah. That's what he does. And he changes his game plan.
Both offense and defense.
Yeah. And then
he's a defensive guy, but he puts his stamp on the offense as well.
The bar that he has set in the NFL is absolutely staggering. Look at the success. And you can go, well, he's at Brady. Well, I don't know. Brady hasn't had the best weapons around him, and he still just continues to win. And he stood the test of time. This is 20 years now that he's been doing it. All those Super Bowls and titles. It's crazy. And you're right. What they did to the Rams last year? No, they didn't look great either in the Super Bowl. That was a bad Super Bowl last year.
No, but I'm saying what he did to the Rams defensively.
Oh,
you look from the New England defense, it's a good defense, mm-hmm. but is that an elite defense with elite players? But they have good players. Or, you know, is Von Miller play for them?
No.
Aaron Donald?
Nope. You know, nope. Like,
look, Gilmore is a terrific player. You know, so like Stephon Gilmore is good. It's terrific. So that's, you know, but I mean, really, is that a team that's loaded defensively?
No.
I mean, part of it's scheme.
Yeah. And the fact that, I mean, look at some of the players that he's gotten stuff out of. Patrick Chung, you know, guys like that. I mean, he gets stuff out of those guys because he knows they have a broad skill set that he can employ in different ways and put them in the right position. It's crazy. So if we believe the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, who are they playing?
You know, I know, it's funny.
Is it the Patriots again?
I don't think so. I, Kansas City, I think, is legit.
Well, they got some weapons that are out, obviously.
Yeah, no.
But, I mean, they got a great tight end in Kelsey. And
yeah.
That's going to be a legit team. Who's the dream scenario that you play against? Would you want to play New England again? I don't mean from a competition standpoint.
Personally, I'd love to see Eagles Chiefs.
Andy, that story.
That'd be awesome.
Pupil versus the student, but the pupil has got the Super Bowl.
So, no, I think that would be incredible. Don't you?
It'd be an incredible storyline because of all the years that Andy spent here.
Yeah,
and it really would be. And look, that's a distinct possibility. The Chiefs and the Patriots have the best odds of getting to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, and have the best odds in the NFL of winning it, both at 6-1. So that's certainly in play. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez, and we're right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so we were just talking about the double-double parade.
Yeah.
So if you take the Sixers to win the title and the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, and you put $100 on that to happen, if you go to the Parks Bet Slip Builder, that pays $13,000. 13 grand. And you can do it right now from your fingertips on your laptop, your tablet. That's right. Because Parks Casino and Sportsbook, my casino and sportsbook of choice, the number one casino in all of Pennsylvania, is now online. That's right. You got sports betting right at your fingertips online. Place all your favorite sports bets, point spreads, money line, over-unders, even live in-game betting, and all at the click of a button from anywhere in PA. That's right. Parks Casino and Sportsbook up and running online. You set up now. You get a risk-free bet up to $250 on your first deposit. Go to parkscasino.com/fan and type in promo code sports. Again, that's parkscasino.com. Use promo code sports to get your risk-free bet up to $250. You can do the $250 for the 4-for-4 parade parlay. How about that? There you go. That bring you back 32.5. Again, online, the number one online casino right now, number one casino in Pennsylvania is there. Parks Casino and Sportsbook, football season around the corner. Never too early to bet all your future bets for the upcoming college and pro football season. ParksCasino.com is where you go. Risk-free bet refunded on loss as a free bet. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So we were just talking about a wild story. So there's a dude at Wimbledon, and he gets fined. He goes out in the first round.
Yeah.
And he gets fined for not trying hard enough.
Yeah, his name's Bernard Tomic. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. I'm not trying real hard to say it. But yeah, he was fined his full Wimbledon prize money for not meeting the requirement. And here's the quote, requirement is this, required professional standard, end quote. during his lackluster 58-minute first-round defeat to Joe Wilfried Zanga. He was docked at the entire 56,100 dollars, but 45,000 pounds, I guess it is. Penalty for his, as they call it, limp performance. He lost 6-2, 6-1, 6-4 in the shortest men's match at Wimbledon since 2004. He's the 96th ranked player in the world. He lost the first set in 18 minutes, second in 17, and won just 47 total points in his first round defeat.
Yeah, the board with Wimbledon thing, too. Like, how nuts is that?
It's nuts, the referee said. In the opinion of the referee, the performance in his first round match did not meet the required professional standards for there should have been fined. Yeah, he's bored with Wimbledon, too. He said, it says it's got a controversial past. This isn't the first. In 2017, he was fined for telling a press conference he had faked an injury and that he was, quote, bored with Wimbledon.
What's the guy insane? Why would you play professional tennis if you don't like it?
Yeah. Well, he wanted to go in and just get the $56,000 payday for one match. And they said, not so quick, sir.
Yeah, but how dumb is that?
Yeah,
seriously. You know, if you win, you get more money. So why wouldn't you try?
Exactly. Yeah.
Either you don't go or you try.
Yeah. And you try and make more money each round you go.
Right.
That when he said that he was bored back in 2017, that cost him his sponsorship deal with a racket manufacturer head at the time. He can apparently appeal this decision, but this guy's a thorn in Wimbledon's side. Bernard Tomic of Australia.
So let me ask you a question. If you could be the eye in the sky and find any team player for not trying, like you think back to the millions of games we've all watched, right?
Yeah.
Think back to when you went, that guy needs to be fined for not trying. Because I got one that pops up into my head. One is like...
Is it a Philadelphia one?
No. And it's so... It pops into my head. The minute we were talking about that dude, this guy came to mind.
Oh, who is it?
And then it was in a playoff game.
In a playoff game?
Yeah. Where he completely gave up.
What sport?
Football.
He completely gave up. Was it a quarterback?
Nope.
I have no idea.
It was, I wonder if somebody would get it. It was
see, if somebody can get it, we'll give them a four-pack of fan
It was in a playoff game, an NFC playoff game.
An NFC
playoff? And he quit. He quit.
Did he just drag himself off the field?
It was a quit job that I've ever seen.
I think I know who it is now. I'll see if somebody can get it. I'm trying to think of it. I remember the situation now, and I'm trying to remember the player.
Quit job.
Well,
first, and as soon as we talked about this,
it would
pop
right away
in my mind.
Yeah.
But give me other ones. If you have other ones, we'll give you FanFest tickets, too. I'm curious if you give me guys that you can, and think about any team sport, you can lay down a gauntlet and go, you didn't try. You get fined.
Whatever.
You're out.
Whatever percentage of your salary that one game was.
Wouldn't you love to do fine. That? You go, you out.
You didn't earn it today.
Yeah, give me that money. Give me your paycheck back.
Yeah. You didn't earn your pay today.
Yeah.
You went up there and just, you went in.
Because we always talk about, athletes now, they get screwed because, guaranteed contracts and all this stuff. Well, if you could actually say, you know what? Nope. You're out. Give me your money back for that day.
Oh, man. You're the eye in the sky, the czar.
Where you're going in it, and you've committed the ultimate sin.
Oh, lack of competition.
There's another one that popped right in my mind right now.
Haynesworth?
No. Hmm. No, he probably was a guy, but it's not Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah.
There's another guy that last week I was like, God, this dude should have been. They should take back his money.
A mutt. It's a mutt move. All right. If people can get the two that you got in your mind right now, then boom, they'll score tickets to FanFest. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Nick in Mount Laurel on the Fanatic. Nicky.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
What's up, brother?
Hey. All right. So back to the earlier conversation about coaches. I think there's a guy you guys keep forgetting that I think a lot of people overlook. I think Vigneault is going to have a lot of pressure on him this year, considering coming out after Hextall and the team decided to play under Gordon and almost turned everything around, almost, as I say. I think he's got a lot of pressure on him this year. I think we've come to expect greatness from the Eagles under Peterson. I think, as long as you got a healthy Wentz, you're going to be fine. And I think under Brett Brown, I think this team is much better. They're missing a couple shooters, but I think it's going to be really hard to score on this team. It's going to be the kind of team that you're going to have to beat them down just to score on them, even if you want to get into the paint with Horford and then beat. And I think that's a big thing that Brett Brown's going to be able to make adjustments to, because I think he did a great job adjusting against the Raptors, and I think he's going to do a great job adjusting to this new lineup and this team, and I think he's really good at being able to make these egos mesh and play together.
See, I think he's got the ability to do that.
Yeah.
I do think, though, strategically, it's going to be different because he's a pace guy, and this is a team that's built more half-court.
To me, Nick, pressure is one of those things that's a byproduct of expectation. So if there's pressure on a guy, like, is there pressure on Gabe because your expectation was that with all the additions they made this offseason that they should absolutely, positively, 100% be a playoff team despite the rotation and what it's been, then that would apply pressure. So when you mentioned Vigneault, what is your expectation?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.